Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it, the midweek edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, I'm going to call him this until it's taken away, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter, at Schmidt underscore radio on Twitter, and at Hail Varsity. We are loaded up. It is Big Ten buffet time. You know, I didn't get any cake or candles sent to Chicago, but Rick Pizzo, 10 years and counting for the Big Ten Network. I think Nebraska fans have enjoyed it, and one of your own is incredible at it, Kevin Kugler on BTN. Rick Pizzo will join us in 15. We'll run down Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. It is almost fall golf time, and it's felt like, as a legendary Husker fan around this area is known as Husker Chad. Someday you'll hear from him. It's Estes weather is what he would like to say. So it's just great weather. So 7 o'clock kick. I'm thinking 18. Not me. Can't do it. But Chewy will tell you about it. So Wilderness Ridge Golf segment is coming up in 30 minutes. Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. They are off and running for a monster weekend of college football. Florida State, Bama, Florida, Michigan, just to name a few. So we'll get that. And then we'll find Jay Moore of Hail Varsity. Jay will give us some thoughts on this matchup. Jay and I will be out at Miller Time Pub on Friday, 4 to 6, down in the legendary Marriott Cornhusker Hotel, Miller Time Pub, High Life Hour, their version of Happy Hour, 4 to 7. We want to see you down there getting ready for Nebraska, Arkansas State the night before. So Jay will sound off a little bit. We'll give you a little appetizer to Friday's show with Arkansas State and that black shirt experience that Jay was able to experience in his career three times as a Husker. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line with Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. So Pizzo and Chewy shortly. Danny, what do you know? How's school?
It's going pretty good. We're in the second week here, adjusting to the schedule. I got a 8:30 Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so not too happy about
that. How's the attendance on that? You're a senior.
Believe it or not, not too good. It's a lecture class, so I've been there a couple times so far. Hopefully my teacher's not listening.
I hope he is, but we'll write you a note.
Yeah, exactly.
And you look at this matchup here, Danny, and I'm not going to get all full bore on Arkansas State yet, but there's been instances in Nebraska history. This is so hyperbole, man. I apologize about this. But there's been instances in Nebraska history where you've had a player just wear out the Nebraska defense or a player just wear out the Nebraska offense. And the fear is it's going to be Javon Roland Jones to add to his sack totals on the defensive end. Blake Mack is the tight end that I've got highlighted and I'm interested in for Arkansas State. They've got a good quarterback. Blake Mack's a dude that they'll put in the end of the line as a tight end. They'll put him in the H-back spot. They'll put him in the slot like New England's done with Gronk, and this guy's body type isn't that of Gronk. He ain't 280. Or they'll split him out. And I'm excited to watch that because you've got a new scheme. You've got a new defense. You have guys that are going to be asked to cover that maybe haven't covered much, or it's a whole new world for them doing it because they're starting for the first time. So that's one of the things I'm looking for, and I think could either make this thing a hang-around type game, or it's time to take Rover to the vet, you put him down. And I think Blake Mack's performance is going to key which way that scale is going to tip for Arkansas State. I think this is a good matchup. I'm excited about it. Your first home opener was how many years back, Danny? I mean, did you get the full body experience of Nebraska football that first time?
Yeah, I did, and it was 3 years ago. It was either the first or second game. It was when
So you're a broadcasting student that's going to get out in 4 years?
That's the plan.
Good work. I mean, and many do.
Right.
Some of us don't.
Some like to take the extra fifth year lap around, you know.
We got a red shirt year.
Right, exactly.
Before we decide to be smart and become broadcasters. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't complain about that, but yeah, like I said before, my parents wouldn't be too on board with that one. But
so your first Nebraska experience.
Yeah, I think it was 3 years ago. I don't know if it was the first or second game, and I can't remember who it was against, but it was when Amir Abdullah had that game-winning run, that, like, 25-yard
like
run.
Like Nichols?
Yeah.
State?
Yeah, it was some
so that was your first, goal. Like...
That was when I was like, whoa, like, this is a crazy experience.
The
like,
upset
this is
alert.
What it's all about.
Right, and yeah. Did you care who the opponent was that almost beat you or took you to overtime?
I was a little concerned. I was like... Because all I knew is Nebraska football being so big. So I'm like, are we really about to lose this game? You know, whoever this is. I was like, where did I just come to school to? You know, no. But and then he broke out
You're
that.
Throwing the dart.
Right.
And football programs I like.
Yeah, there exactly. No, but yeah. So then he broke out on that run and the whole stadium just erupted. I'm like, okay, this is what it's all about. And this is awesome.
It was cool. And it was kind of bittersweet that day because you won. And it was a straight-up Heisman run for Amir.
Right.
And he doesn't care who it was against, but the other 90,000 did.
Mm-hmm.
Not 90,000. We'll split the middle. 45 were shaking their head, needing a cold one. I don't know if you'll need a cold one or not after this in fear of the season ahead. I mean, we've got 2 days, a few hours till kickoff. And you look at Nebraska, and you look at Arkansas State, and you have the tight end. And there's some guys, back to those guys that can take over a game. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys do it, and I think Nebraska's obviously cognizant of, A, not letting that happen, but sometimes you can't do anything about it. You just got to kind of manage it. And I think that combination of new defense and coverage responsibilities with a pretty experienced quarterback and tight end could keep Arkansas State in this game. That said, their offensive line, five new starters. It is not a good thing. Coach Diaco caught up with the media yesterday. We'll give you a little bit of Coach Diaco to get things rolling on a Wednesday. And he was asked immediately about the black shirts because they were awarded out Tuesday. You saw the video on social media and you saw the reaction. And yesterday was the first time Coach Diaco had a chance to respond to it. And he was asked, you know, did you understand and how did you get to 16? Really give me the process and give me, you're an Iowa guy, you're from Jersey. Do you get what the black shirts are all about? He, of course, does because he's a smart guy. But here's that process. Here's the response from Diaco. And he is pretty good when it comes to sound bites and his explanation of things. This was pretty good. Listen.
Pretty clear, pretty clean process. It's really exciting tradition. It's pretty awesome that young people, young men in particular that we're talking about here, aspire to be, and their goal is to carry the burden of accountability and responsibility of defending the hopes and dreams of the team, the university, and the state of Nebraska.
He got everybody in there. All those that wear red. Absolutely. The burden of responsibility, the burden of accountability. Let that sink in. And it may sound like a no-brainer. You don't need to talk about it. You don't need it explained. But you've got a different set of 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. They're not from here. And while you have the hope that guys pay it forward in the locker room, who's doing that? And what type of leadership representative have you had versus what maybe you want? So he explained it. And you heard or saw Chris Weber's comments about, you got a problem if you think it's just a shirt. And more from Diaco here on that responsibility, on that accountability. And if you run into guys, and Jay Moore, we'll get caught up with him in an hour on this, it is bigger than you. And part of that growing up, part of that maturing, part of what makes you a good college student, or even if you're a bad student, well, part of what gets you through college is the ability to multitask and just kind of grow up and suck it up and eat the vegetables, so to speak. Things that you don't like doing, you just say, screw it, I'll get it done. And that's just life, right? Well, on the football field, it's a process as well with how it isn't all about you after years of being told how great you are in some instances as a high-profile recruit or a stud on your high school team. You got to start at ground zero and kind of build your way up. And that's harder for some guys to do than others. And the message here is this honor, this tradition is bigger than you.
That's pretty exciting, and that's how I see it. So if their goal was to get a shirt, then we're going to have a learning curve. If their goal was to take on the responsibility and accountability of defending the hopes and dreams of the team, the university, and the state, that's super exciting.
He nailed it. And again, his comments about it, answering the question about the process, the meaning, the responsibility. I like this best was, well, what'd you know about the black shirts? What'd you know about Nebraska and the black shirt defense before you got here?
You can't grow up, I don't think, as a defender in this country as a football player and not know about the black shirt defense and the ideologies and habits of defending that brings. The learning is something that I already know, that this isn't the end for someone that is been honored with that responsibility. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a process, and it's the beginning of a responsibility and accountability to work, habits, leadership, strain, pain.
He nailed it all, what it takes. So, Danny, you're a Chicago guy. You came to Nebraska. You love football. And you're not playing, at least not yet, right? So did you know about the black shirts? Is that rep about the black shirts as alive and well? Do your bros that go to Wisconsin, do your friends that go to Big Ten schools, do your friends that are from the 500-mile radius and a little beyond in the Chicago area, do they get or care about the black shirts? Is it as prevalent as it used to be?
They definitely know what it is. Not as prevalent, I would say, but people know it, you know, just being big fans of college football. And actually, in high school, for our football team, we did the black shirts for our defense.
Really?
Our senior year. Yeah, our coach.
Whose idea was that?
Our head coach, he's big Nebraska fan. He kind of emulates their whole system from, you know, like late 90s, early 2000s and everything. So we did the black shirts, and that's like how I really got to like learn about it. And then I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm going there next year too. And that's where we got it from. So it was kind of cool.
What school did you go to?
It's called John Hersey High School in Arlington Heights.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they have their own black shirt tradition?
Well, now they do. I don't know. They got a new coach after I left. I'm not sure if he still does it, but okay. They might.
So you just rolled into practice one day after school and there's the Burke black shirt hanging in on the wall?
No, I was a bench player, but
you were a contributor.
Right. These guys
supposed
don't
have to lie to me and
I was
say,
gonna say these guys don't have to know that, but then they'll see me in person and they won't believe it. But
yeah, no, I got you. More from Diaco here. Let's get back to the offense. We spent some time about Mac, the tight end, and Diaco answered the question, what's this Arkansas State offense all about?
Great offense, innovative system, awesome challenge for our defense. Strong perimeter players, really good quarterback play. Tight end is a talented player, matchup issue. And the way that they do their business, they know it inside and out. The head football coach and the offensive coaches have a great dynamic offensive system. They run it really well. They've outscored folks in their years and have had great success as a team led by their offense.
Couple of things here. You have the corners that Lamar hadn't played a lot. It's Lee's first start. I mean, and then you got DeCap who will rotate in, likely. They're going to go after him, and they'll go after him early. Do they have success with it or not? And if they do, how do you respond if you're Nebraska? I'm jumping the gun here on breakdown, but I'm interested in it. And it, part of the whole Blake Mack, is he going to be 2.0 Keith Jackson? on Saturday night or not. Because if you had that one difference maker, God, and I'm putting Mac in this Hall of Fame, and I'm not trying to, but I'm just saying, based on some of the variables here with the defense, the shift, coverage responsibilities, that there may not be a ton of comfort, no matter how much camp you've had, how much have we heard about game action being paramount. I mean, it could keep this thing dicey. It could keep this thing coverable for Arkansas State if you're a Vegas guy. And if so, it's going to be a Blake Mack catch over the middle or catch on a wheel route. I mean, whatever they want to do with him. So how does Nebraska kind of respond to that? The offense, though, is going to be good. The quarters for Nebraska are going to be trying to soak it up and just remember what they're supposed to do. How about you get some help from Carlos and the gang getting after Justice Hansen? Maybe you knock him down a few times. Maybe you sack him a few times. Maybe you beat him up a bit. And then there is no completion to Mack. That's another thing to look at, is Nebraska's pass rush, Nebraska's quarter play. We haven't even gotten to the offensive tackles for Nebraska. You think Gates will be all right? He seems good. Neville, big prove-it year for him. He's got everything that he wants to put, that athletic ability, that size, on film for a great senior season. Hope you're well on a Wednesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Buffet time. Mr. Rick Pizzo on the way.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's Big Ten Buffet time. Mr. Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo, Rick, happy 10th anniversary to you and all your friends at the Big Ten, man.
Thank you very much, Chris. It is hard to believe. Today's actually the exact 10th anniversary. 10 years ago today, we launched the network. I'm not sure what's harder to believe, that it's been 10 years or that I can look back at the video that we have in our library from 10 years ago and that my hair at one point in my life did not have any gray in it, and it was only 10 years ago. You look back on a picture of yourself from 10 years ago, and you're blown away by how young you look.
The distinguished look to Mr. Pizzo is always,
thank you, sir,
good stuff. Hey, great weekend of college football. It's finally here, and we'll get to Nebraska, Arkansas State in a minute. But, you know, I got to tell you, I circled Florida and Michigan to start the year. You got Florida State, mm-hmm, of course, and Bama. But is Florida going to have anyone to kick off to? I mean, this thing just keeps getting worse and worse for the Gators when it comes to guys that will miss the contest.
Yeah, we talked about it this morning. Just Antonio Callaway alone, you don't really have a playmaker. And so now you don't have a playmaker, and that is what surrounds a quarterback scenario where Jim McElwain has three guys that apparently he has no confidence in. So he hasn't made a quarterback decision, at least not publicly. I'm not sure in his mind he feels comfortable with any of those guys. And think about this too, Chris. No matter who he puts out there, and especially if he puts three guys out there, I understand that Michigan's defense is replacing 10 starters, but defensive coordinator Don Brown is back, and his forte is confusing quarterbacks. And we're talking about confusing guys who take every snap, who are starters from day one, who know what their role is. Can you imagine how confused these guys are going to be if they get in and they see a completely different look from what the first or second Florida quarterback saw? I think this is going to be a disastrous game for Florida's offense. I don't think Michigan's going to run up a ton of points, but they're not going to have to.
No, I think you're right on, and you just don't have that much confidence with Florida. And Callaway's awesome. I mean, he's such a good player.
He's a great player.
Yeah, and to not have him is brutal. And then the more guys that have been suspended continues to pile up. So Florida is a mess. Offensively, though, I mean, what are you going to expect from Michigan? What's going to be their bread and butter this year as they move forward, trying to dethrone Penn State, trying to dethrone Ohio State?
Well, you know, they believe that they can have the running back by committee that averages somewhere in that magical 100-yard a game mark. Now, are they going to do it with one guy? Probably not. But you have a guy in Wilton Spate who returns, and I know Jim Harbaugh is not saying who his official starting quarterback is. It's going to be Spate, even if Elkhorn takes some snaps on Saturday until Spate gets hurt or has a unpredicted fall off. That's his job. What he does really well is play action. And I think as long as they can figure out the tight end position, losing Jake Butt was huge in the play action game. As long as they can figure out the tight end position, they're going to keep defenses guessing enough that they're going to be able to run the ball by committee. They are not going to be Wisconsin by any stretch of the imagination. They're not going to be a team who overwhelms you, but that offensive line is getting better. And if Spate can keep teams guessing, then they're going to run a Jim Harbaugh-style offense. They're never going to run up 60 points a game, but they are better offensively than most people give them credit for. It was just overshadowed a year ago because their defense was so good.
Let's stay with the quarterback. Hornibrook, what's his ask this year by Crist? And he was a part-time starter last year. Barry loves the offensive line. They have stable of backs. Their defense is going to be killer. Is Hornibrook just supposed to stay between the white lines and stay on the road? Is that the ask of him this year?
I think that's what he did last year, right? I mean, you can't ask a guy to do what he can't do. And his arm strength doesn't allow him to throw a 35, 40-yard out pattern. He's not going to jam it in between two closing defensive backs. That's just not what he does. And he doesn't have to do that. They have a terrific tight end in Troy Fumagalli. They have a couple of running backs that are coming in very highly touted. You know that offensive line is going to be good. For the first time in a long time, I think the bigger question is defensively for Wisconsin, because you lose T.J. Watt, you lose Vince Beagle, now Jack Sitchin the injury as well. I just don't know if you can replace all that production and not have any kind of fall off. But don't sleep on Wisconsin. Four division titles in 6 years with multiple coaches, with different systems, with a revolving quarterback position. So I just don't think that there's any reason to believe that Wisconsin is going to face any kind of fall off, because they've overcome everything over the past 6-8 years, and they continue to be in the hunt every year.
Big Ten Buffet time. Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What type of senior year will JT Barrett have?
You know, this is such a fascinating question, Chris. We had this very discussion on Big Ten Football and Beyond today. Where does JT Barrett rank right now among OSU's all-time greats? Because if you look at the stats, he is rewriting every record book as far as total offensive production, and not just for Ohio State. He's 6 touchdowns away from passing Drew Brees to be responsible for more touchdowns than any other player in Big Ten history. And yet, do you put him in the same breath as a guy like Troy Smith? Does he go in the same breath as the all-time Ohio State greats? The answer is probably no, because he's never won a championship on his arm. That was Cardale Jones's national championship. So I don't know if JT Barrett is feeling the kind of pressure that I think he should be feeling, because he does want to be remembered as one of the all-time OSU greats. In my mind, he's not there yet. You can point to the win-loss record. It's 26-4, but where are the championships? And I know that Tommy Armstrong didn't have that kind of win-loss record, but I would make that comparison. Because just like JT, statistically, he rewrote all the Nebraska offensive records. Is there a single football fan in Lincoln that is going to try to compare Tommy Armstrong to Tommy Frazier or Eric Crouch? Absolutely not. It is not all about the stats.
No, it's about that hardware. Rick Pizzo with this. Maryland to Texas. Do the Terps have a shot?
Folks, Vegas don't think so. 18-point underdogs. They're going with Tyrell Pigram at quarterback. I think that's a mistake. I would rather go with Kasim Hill, the highly touted true freshman. Pigram is an athlete. You can put him a lot of different places on the field. We'll see. DJ Durkin is clearly a smarter man than me and knows more football. I don't think they lose by 17. I think they keep it close. I'm just not so sure they can win in Austin.
I love the Maryland athletes, and they got a second year with Durkin. How about Iowa and Wyoming? Coach Bull, Mr. Allen, and Wyoming pretty good. Iowa remembers North Dakota State for sure last year. Similar type setup and situation. Is this thing close in Iowa City?
It's going to be a scary game. Don't forget, they had to suspend Manny Rugumba, one of their top defensive backs. So you're down one of your best corner, if not your best cover guy, against a quarterback who many people think has NFL ability. That's all good and well for Wyoming. They don't have much surrounding him. They lost their top running back from a year ago, nearly 2,000 total yards. They lost a couple of receivers. He doesn't have, he being Josh Allen, many pieces around him. And their defense isn't all that good either. There's a team that lost Eastern Michigan last year. So I think Iowa will be okay. I don't expect them to blow Wyoming out. I don't think Iowa has what it takes to blow out many people this year. But I don't think that this is as much of an upset special as a lot of people see it.
Let's talk Arkansas State, Nebraska. That line is around that 16 to 17 number. Javon Roland Jones sacks everybody all the time, so
yep.
He's impressive. Nebraska's corners, very, very green. Under the gun more, Nebraska's offensive tackles or Nebraska's corners on Saturday night?
Offensive tackles, and to me it's not even a debate. Because you and I talk about all the time what Nebraska has to be, and they have to be a couple of things. They have to be much better defensively, and they have to be nasty on the offensive line. Because if you're nasty on the offensive line, you can do two things. You can run the football at will, and you can protect your quarterback. For all of Tanner Lee's strengths, there are going to be a lot of them, most notably taking care of the football, more so than Tommy Armstrong did. He is not as mobile. I'm not saying he's immobile, but he's clearly not as agile. So that means the offensive line has to protect. And when you are a first-time, first-year starter for a big-time program, and you have gotten all the hype and all the pub that Tanner Lee appears to be getting, what you can't do is lay an egg in game one against Arkansas State, because then the confidence wavers in you, in your teammates, and maybe your coaching staff. And I think that offensive line has a big part of Tanner Lee's success in week one. They need to be not just good, but really good.
Well, and they'll have an appropriate test with a guy that transferred in from Bama. And we mentioned the pass rush specialist. Rick, to wrap here with Nebraska, it'll be a committee approach at running back, likely, yep. And we won't know more until we get to Big Ten season. Of the backs you've seen from Nebraska, which one does it for you?
Honestly, right now, Chris, I have to say none. And I don't mean that. I don't mean none because I don't think anybody can do it.
Sure.
I mean none because who has shown you enough, and you've seen more than I have,
sure.
Whether it be in spring or fall ball, that you can say you're the guy. I mean, I make that same argument with Michigan's running backs. I make that same argument with a couple of different teams in the Big Ten. I'm just not a believer in saying that, especially at that running back position, you have one guy until that guy separates himself. And I think a lot of it also depends on Tanner's level of success. If they're able to go down the field and have success consistently, then you go with the guy who can break away and give you 40 yards on every run, but is not going to run between the tackles as much. If you're having trouble controlling the line of scrimmage and time of possession, then you want to go with the running back who's going to get you 3 and 4 consistently and who you can ride 25 times a game. I'm not trying to avoid the question.
Sure.
I just think that applies to not just Nebraska, but I think that applies to almost every team in the league and really in the country that doesn't have a clear number one back.
Well, the guy who does have a number one back is Penn State and Mr. Franklin. What is this year going to look like for Barkley, and will he be able to do his thing a second consecutive year?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, but I think he may do it a little differently. He was second in the Big Ten in rushing last year. I wouldn't be surprised, and this may shock some people, I wouldn't be surprised if he falls below that number this year. I wouldn't be surprised if his rushing yardage goes down, but his receiving yardage goes up and goes up significantly. He is a terrific back out of the backfield. I think the way that Penn State wants to do things this year, they'd like to get more guys involved carrying the football, but you also have to share the wealth because Trace McSorley is so dangerous a quarterback. You have, in my opinion, one of the nation's best tight ends in Mike Gesicki. You have enough returning on the outside. Hamilton, Blacknall, guys who, yes, Godwin's a big loss, but those guys can speed as well. So what does that mean for defenses? If you're covering all those guys, a lot of times you leave those soft areas in the backfield unprotected. I think that's an area that Joe Moorhead can absolutely exploit this year. Don't be shocked if Barkley is one of the top pass-catching running backs in the entire country this year.
Big Ten Buffet with Rick Pizzo at BTN, Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Rick, we'll catch up soon. Thanks for the time, sir.
Chris, pleasure is always mine, my friend. We are just getting started.
Mr. Pizzo, good for him. Great to catch up with him. Great to catch up with Rick. It's Sauter Heyman as well, your exclusive dealer of Nebraska Pure Grown Diamonds. 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds that are grown in a lab. They are beautiful. And go see Rick at 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, around Weston, Grand Island. Go see Sauter Heyman today, sauterheyman.com.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
You know what's awesome? How about golf specials? this weekend for your holiday. Like I tell you, 7 o'clock kick, plenty of time to go swing the old clubs. And listen, it's not even a sell anymore. You can go tailgate with your bros, but you're not tailgating X amount of hours with your friends, which Mama will be okay with. You can go swing the clubs. Mike Shuart with us, Wilderness Ridge Golf. Shuey, how are you, man? It's Husker golf season, too. What's new?
Oh, yeah, man. We start tomorrow, actually.
I know.
Excited. This time, I love this time of the year, man. You got golf.
You got a smile
got
on your face all the time.
Always.
Well, you can smile about the prices. I'll tell you about it in a second. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, where you log on and get that tee time for some fall golf, 402-434-5106. Membership benefits, please look at them. If you're budgeting for the spring, membership pricing that will knock you out. And, of course, PGA professional Chris Thompson, and Chewy's in with us every Wednesday, director of instruction, also with Husker Golf. Here is what's shaking with Wilderness Ridge to celebrate the holiday weekend with some golf. The Talon course, it's the nine-hole course. They have par threes, they have par fours, they have a par five. I'm good at that par five. $8 plus card fee.
$8.
How
about that?
Yeah, it's less than a beer you're going to pay for on Saturday in some instances. $2 off a range ball bucket. And then the championship course after one, $35 plus tax. That's nails. That is nails. Holiday hours Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday, the restaurant is closed for a private event, but the pro shop's open. Go say what's up to Shuey. And Monday from 11 to 10. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Log on. Was out there Saturday for the wife's birthday. It was awesome.
Man, it's been beautiful, huh?
Yeah. Did you order this up?
Weather? I have. No question.
Well, it's been great weather to practice. How's practice leading up to this first event for Husker Golf?
It's been good. We just got done with our qualifying to determine who's going to play in our top five, so that was nice. And now heading out there for a practice round tomorrow down at Arbor Links, yep. And then 36 holes on Friday and 18 on Saturday.
That is the way to do
so,
it. Okay.
A lot
so
of golf.
So. Give me a rundown here on the squad, my friend.
It's pretty good. Some good scores. Kate Smith is going to play number one for us. You shot 71, 72, 69. That's not bad, huh?
No.
That usually works.
I haven't done that on Golden Tee.
So she played nice in qualifying. And Haley Teal from Wahoo, local girl.
Yes.
Who was redshirted last year because of an injury. She's back this year, so she's going to play second. And Audrey Judd from Kansas City. She's going to be our third in our third spot. She's a tremendous player. Won a tournament last year. So I like our top three, very much so. And then Jess from California and Annie from Singapore.
I like that.
How about that?
That's good. You got a good good rotation there, Shuey. And I know it's game week and it's kickoff and it's a night game for Nebraska, and you guys will be rocking it down at Arbor Links for tournament play. What type of words of wisdom do you instill? And you have some upperclassmen, but you have some players that are also new to this. How do you get them prepped and get done with qualifying to get them ready? How do you kind of navigate that so they're as confident as they can be?
Yeah, most of it is just you don't try to do more than you already did. You know, you look at the scores you shot in qualifying, things like that. So it's like you just go out there and you stay within the process of what you do. And you just play golf like you know how to play golf. You don't have to play it any better. You don't have to try. Just because it's a tournament doesn't mean you have to try harder. You know, you try the same because obviously the scores that you shoot, the scores that you've shot are what got you where you're at. So it's like you don't need to put more pressure on yourself. Just go do what you do. And a lot of it's just getting them focused on being able to stay within the process and being able to hit one shot. It's like I tell them all the time. I said, you realize it only takes one good shot on a hole to make a par?
Yeah.
It really does. It's like, and if it's the last one, you'll almost guarantee you'll make a par. It's like, and think about it. It's like, have you ever made a 40-footer before? It's a 30-footer? Yeah. It's like, man, I can not hit very many good shots and have 40 feet left for par. And if I make it, I walk off the hole with a par. Mm-hmm. So it's like, when you think about that, man, it's like, I mean, just all I got to do is hit one good shot to make a par. So it allows you to stay focused on the task at hand.
And be positive. I mean, there's hope to accomplish and do it.
That's exactly right, you know. So it's like you never know. You could chip it in at any time. You could hit a wedge really close.
Jay Moore's good at chipping them in.
Yeah, he is. He's had a pretty good summer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you that. I just saw him this afternoon, by the way. He was out there golfing again. So that's it, you
we
know.
We call it training.
That's right. I think that's what he tries to call it, too.
But. I like it. Mike Shewhart's with us, Wilderness Ridge Golf. Yeah, crossover between golf and football, and that's kind of the consistency thing, and being even keel. And when I first met you and have gotten to know you, and you are a walking definition to me of being even keel. and that's I'm complimenting you on that because
thanks.
I mean that you're
my wife probably would differ with that.
Well, I just see how positive you are. And I've seen and talked to enough folks about your teaching techniques, and then obviously with Husker Golf too. And where did you learn that? Has that always kind of been in your DNA? How did you?
No.
Oh,
no.
So it's a learned.
Yeah, very much so.
It's a learned behavior of being able to just roll with it, respond, but just kind of look at the brighter side of what's out there. And that's something you're trying to pass along and coach up to,
exactly,
to the young and the college ready.
You know, a lot of it is because I was psychotic when I played. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I was a nut job.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I was not even keeled whatsoever. So I learned through experience of, I got a little bit better at it, you know, especially towards the end of my career playing. So I got a little bit better at it. I figured out, man, it's like you can't go psychotic out there because it doesn't do you any good. I mean, it hurts you.
I'm trying to picture. I mean, when I think of psychotic, I'm going, sorry to go there here, but Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I could go there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No question. No question about it. So, and some of it is easy for me to teach that because
You've lived it.
I lived it, you know, and I failed by it. So it's like, you know what?
And you changed and you won.
And yeah, so it's like, if you can pass that on, it's like trying to get them to understand that that's kind of the way you go about your business and what you have to do, you know, and you have to work hard. We work hard on our golf swings and the technique of the things that we do, but we need to work as hard, if not harder, on our mental,
mm-hmm,
and how we perceive things, how we deal with those things, how we react to those things, because they can, you know, they're actually more detrimental than having a technical flaw in what it is that you do. And that's why the game is so hard, because the game is super complicated, because it's very mechanical with a lot of moving parts, and you have to learn how to control those and do the things. But then once you have that, then you have a sequential rhythmic
muscle
motion that needs to also take place. So it's like, man, you got to work hard on the mechanics. Then you have to put a sequence and order within that, and you have a timing of all that. So it's a super complicated game. So it's like the more you go ups and downs and you get your anatomy starts to get affected all, mm-hmm, the time from highs to low. It's hard to keep that side of it. So even is a little better, if
even,
possible.
Even's great. And WildernessRidgeGolf.com, where you can call and make the tee time. Amazing holiday weekend golf specials. $8 plus card for your talent course. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf, continues with us on Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Wilderness Ridge Golf segment continues. Mike Shewhart, Danny Burke producing and contributing. Chris Schmidt, hope you're well. Gorgeous weather this weekend. Golf time for you before kickoff with Wilderness Ridge, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. 10 minutes, Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. Get us locked in for the weekend of college football. His thoughts on Nebraska, his thoughts on Bama, his thoughts on the Noles. Jay Moore, our own Blackshirt Jay, will join us at 5:25. His take on some things defensively for Nebraska, and that first time he lined up. A lot of new guys seeing time for Nebraska on the defensive side of the ball in a new scheme. Say it with me. You've got it memorized. And what that was like for him, plus the black shirt experience. Shuey, you're a Nebraska guy. What was that first Nebraska game you went to? Remember?
Man, when was that? 1980.
Okay. Man. Florida State?
It was, actually.
Yeah, they won.
Did we play Penn State that year, too?
Yeah. You played?
Yeah,
you,
no, it was Florida State. I can't remember.
Florida State, Iowa, Penn State.
Yeah, it was Florida State.
And then freaking Elvis Peacock.
Yeah. Exactly.
I cleaned that up for radio.
I remember that, man.
I thought his name was something else growing up because my dad would always say something else about something Elvis Peacock.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Florida State and then Penn State.
Busta Rhymes was in 80. My fault. I'm getting my Sooner Magic, yeah. Jack Daniels Hayes, confused. You had some sudden death golf, Spieth and DJ, man. Wow.
Wow. How about that? Two of the top players in the world going head to head. They separated themselves totally away from the field, man. That was fun to watch.
Yes, yes, it was. And what's your takeaway this year for 2017 with PGA? I mean, what's a thing that has stuck out to you most?
Youth.
Yes?
Plain and simple, man. I mean, the youth movement. You look at the 25 and younger crowd that just basically dominated all year. You know, so it's exciting because the youth and – they're going to be around for a while, so the tour's in really good hands with who's out there, you know. And you got some guys that are very charismatic, you know, how they deal with the people and the crowds and the media. Exactly. I mean, you got Jordan and DJ.
Can there be a guy that goes, for lack of a better term, Tiger? Is there a guy out there that takes that next step?
No.
No?
No. I mean, I hate to say that because I said that before Tiger came along.
No,
I just,
well, but you're not. No one's supposed to.
I just do not see anybody being in doing what.
It's a pretty loaded
Tiger
field
did.
Of 25 and under, correct? To try and navigate
too good.
Through. Yeah, too good.
I mean, the guys are too good. I mean, just like that. I mean, a guy, Jordan was running away with that tournament, you know. But it's like those guys are so good. They get on a little bit of roll. They get a little confidence, you know. Especially like a DJ who can overpower a golf course, man. All of a sudden, dude just starts rolling off birdie after birdie after birdie. So, the guys are so – there's so many good players and so talented, man. It's just hard to dominate like Tiger did. I mean, I just don't see it. I don't see anybody doing that again.
Shoey, hang out if you like, brother.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Go rock it. Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment, Mike Shewhart. Caller 9 and 10 right now. You qualify for Nebraska, Arkansas state tickets. Caller 9, caller 10 will qualify next hour. Caller 9, caller 10, the giveaway tomorrow. Caller 9 and 10 now, Arkansas State and Nebraska. Tickets to qualify for with Hail Varsity, 466-3776, 466-3776.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour two, it is Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore is coming up shortly. And we're getting Brad before he's off to be awesome on TV. Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. Brad, thanks for making time, man. How are you?
Oh, doing great. I think, like you, I'm really excited to see some real games played here. Get a legit conference game tomorrow night to kick things off, so life's good.
It is. Let's start there with Ohio State in Indiana, and the storyline is Kevin Wilson, to me, with what he did at Indiana, how he was dismissed, and then you got Allen, the defensive coordinator, who was great. You felt like, from an Indiana standpoint, you had the marriage of the offense and the defense, and they could go places. Now Urban just gets another former head coach on staff.
Yeah.
is this thing going to be tight? Is this thing going to be all Buckeyes? How do you feel about this kickoff tomorrow night?
I don't think there's any reason on paper to think that this is a slugfest, but you know, when you look, if you believe the stories in terms of why Kevin Wilson is no longer the coach at Indiana, the reports of mistreatment of players, if those stories are true and it was prevalent, then sure, there's going to be some motivation on the part of those Indiana players to try to win one against him. And then on top of it, the fact that Ohio State is kind of you know, breaking in a new offensive scheme. We assume it's new based on what they were doing last year. It better be new after watching what they did last year. I guess Nebraska fans would probably disagree that it didn't work too well. But late in the season, it certainly struggled. You know, maybe the combination of those two makes their, you know, an outside shot at an upset, or at least the game being close. But what I'm expecting is that you're going to have an equally motivated Ohio State team just because of the embarrassing way in which they ended last year. I think they really feel like they have something to prove. And, you know, teams with that type of talent, when they come out motivated, it's a dangerous thing. And so a lot of times you catch them kind of sleepwalking. But in this particular case, I think both teams are going to really be ready to play. And Ohio State, I think, just has too much.
They have quite a bit. And what prevents Ohio State from getting back to the playoffs this season? Is there anything that can do that?
Well, I think, you know, you look at what their weakness was last year, and they did not have a lot of success with big plays. And most of that was on the passing game and being able to, you know, get the ball downfield, especially to wideouts. Now, they had success with Curtis Samuel, but he's gone. And so I think the wideout's going to have to step up and be able to make some of those big plays in order to get defenses to back off. You know, I think they did a pretty good job being efficient and moving the chains against a lot of their opponents. But when they got to play the best defensive teams, you know, they were able to have answers and be able to get stops when they didn't respect the ability of Barrett to go over the top to his receiver. So I think if he doesn't improve in that area, then, you know, there are a few teams on the schedule that I think could give them trouble. And look, we've seen it the last 2 years with Ohio State. They know very well that if you lose one game and you lose it to the wrong team, it can, you know, keep you from winning the division and playing for the conference title. And I don't know if they would get benefit of doubt 2 years in a row to be able to get in the playoff without winning the conference. And so I think it's very important for them that they don't slip up, because once again, slip up to the wrong team and it could be lights out.
Is there a team that's projected to have a successful season that needs to earn your benefit of the doubt? Is there somebody that you need to see kind of live up to the hype? Is there somebody that is supposed to be good? On paper, they're good. They've had successful years, but they've not made that final kind of get over the hump type winter season.
Yeah, for me that would be Florida State. I know some people point at USC, but the expectations haven't really been there for USC in the last few years, and it's just because of the way Sam Darnold played last year that, you know, that they have the hype and a lot of people are picking them. I'm actually going Washington in the Pac-12, but you know, USC's got as good of a chance as anybody to win that league. But Florida State to me is a team that, they have Alabama-level talent, Ohio State-level talent. But with the exception of two seasons where Jameis Winston, eventual first pick in the NFL draft, was their quarterback, we haven't seen them contend for a national title late in the season. And, you know, Jimbo Fisher is considered by a lot of people to be one of the best coaches in college football, and he certainly is one of the best recruiters. But until he's able to do it with another quarterback, I'm going to be a little bit skeptical. And so that's why this is a huge game for Florida State, and it's a huge season for them to be able to show that they can be, you know, more than good, that they can be elite with someone other than Jameis Winston.
With that said, how do you feel about Saturday night between Bama and Florida State? What are a couple of things you're looking at?
Well, it's not very often at any point in the season that you can look at an Alabama team and point to more than one potential weakness, or at least more than one potential concern. And I see three right now with Alabama that jump out at me. One is the defensive line, just simply because they had their top four players in tackles for loss and sacks are all gone from last year. They had six defensive players taken the first 2 days of the NFL draft. Even by Alabama standards, that's a lot of talent lost. And just plugging in, you know, more four and five stars doesn't always solve the issue, especially not overnight, not in game one. So I think that's a concern. The fact that Jalen Hurts was not a great downfield passer last year either, much like JT Barrett, I think is something that we want to see. Has he improved that part of his game? And Alabama has a new coordinator who has never been a coordinator on the college level. And you wonder, is it going to click for him right away, or is there going to be an adjustment period? And if there is, you know, any of those three things could be a problem for them, and especially against a Florida State team that does have the talent man for man to match up with them. This is not one of those cases that you often get with Alabama where they're just so much more talented that as long as they don't turn the ball over five times or give up a couple of big special teams plays, that the other team doesn't have a chance. FSU can, you know, can hang with them and make just as many plays as Alabama can. I would pick Florida State, if not for one thing, which is that Florida State has a lot of questions on its offense. So I don't know that Florida State is in a position right now to exploit these potential weaknesses that Alabama has on the defensive front. Their offensive line was not very good last year. They have to replace a couple of those guys on top of it. And I'm just not sure that combining that with the loss of Dalvin Cook and a couple of their top receivers, that they're really going to be in a spot where, you know, you can count on them to you know, to really make the most of Alabama's inexperience in that area. So I'm kind of picking Alabama by default, just because I don't know that Florida State has, you know, the pieces offensively right now, or really more the experience right now to exploit that weakness.
Brad, are you good for one more question? You got to run, brother.
I think we got time for one more.
Okay. Tanner Lee or that Nebraska 3-4 scheme, Arkansas State, I know it's not on a lot of national radar, you know, Doppler radar, so to speak. But you have a team that's pretty well respected by many in Arkansas State with their talent, with their pass rush. When it comes to adjustment period, do you think Tanner Lee has a better game one on Saturday night? Or do you think it's the Nebraska defense, that 3-4 transition, that maybe shines and is a little more comfortable?
Well, as you know, this time of year, defense is usually ahead of offense. And, you know, with Lee, this is very different from his last playing experience at Tulane. He's got more around him to work with. But at the same time, I think there is an adjustment to being in a new offense and just getting some of the rust off. And so, Arkansas State is not a great team, but they're not a bad team either. All you have to do is look at their record of recent years and see that. So it's not a cupcake. I'd be surprised if he goes out there and just, you know, absolutely lights them up. I should say I'll be impressed if he goes out there and absolutely lights them up. He could have a really good year, I think the odds are kind of against him, you know, looking like he's you know, a fifth-year senior who's been in the program for 4 years in game one. I just don't know that's realistic.
Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider College Game Day at J. Brad Edwards and Brad off to do a Sports Center. Brad, thanks for the time, bro. We'll catch up next week for Oregon and week two. Take care and have a great first weekend of college football, bud.
All right, I can't wait. You guys enjoy it, too.
Take care. Thanks a lot. Brad Edwards squeezing us in on Hail Varsity Radio. So was it Sports Center he was rolling to? Something like that?
Yeah, I think that was it. He didn't really get into the specifics. He's just seemed like a busy man. So.
He's crazy busy. And
oh, yeah.
We love having him on Wednesdays at 5. So there he goes. In the Florida State-Bama ball game is extremely interesting. And I thought, I'm going to, you know, give me Florida State. But the more I've listened and researched and the more that is out there for Bama to do to Florida State, I just think guys in Vegas kind of know what's up by going 7. Let's spend a couple more minutes here, Danny, on Nebraska here. Jay Moore is with us in about 8 minutes or so. And again, thanks to Brad Edwards. I like what he said about the adjustment period, because that's what's been talked about a lot between the defense and the quarterback. Both of those things for Nebraska. And with Lee, you know, I think here's going to be the setup and the game plan, right? And we've heard from Riley himself that, you know, it's not just Tanner, okay? I know he's the focal point. I know he's had the hype. I know he's got the arm talent. I know he's wanted this opportunity, and he's really, really good, and he can do some things that are that's very special. But about the other 10 around him, what's the other 10 around him do? And we started off the first hour talking about those offensive tackles against the pass rush of Arkansas State, what they're known for, what they're really talented with. So from a playbook standpoint, are you going to just get a solid dose of some power run? You hope that's the case. And is Danny's like, are you not run the ball guy, Danny? Are you anti run the ball guy?
No, I like running the ball, but I don't like running it unless you got that star back, you know.
So it's more about the personnel options you
right.
have.
Exactly.
So what would make you a believer in the backfield?
If, you know, Bryant's the first string, right?
Well, no one knows who the first string
is. Yeah, I guess so. We'll see who's going to be the star.
Riley and Reggie and Danny Langsdorf and Cav, they know.
Yeah.
And maybe that back knows.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't mind it when we had Amir Abdullah back there because you know he's going to provide you some positive
yards. No, Nebraska fans didn't. And this is the second Amir reference. Right. I wish Amir's just moved to Lincoln and stayed in Lincoln for Nebraska fans' sake.
Exactly.
Because he is special. He was awesome.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah,
and is.
I love the passing game, though. There's no doubt about that. It's exciting, obviously. It's college football. You got to take some risks. So I enjoy seeing that, you know.
Okay. So just sling it around and.
Exactly.
Well, holy hell, if there's 80 put up, and it's all good.
Exactly.
So with Lee, how does he come out? How does he shake out? How does he ease in? And you're going to ease him in by running the football. You're going to ease him in on some short passes to protect all 11 on offense against the pass rush, not just for the opener, but also for games down the road. That's the intriguing part, and you saw some glimpses from Riley in year one with a more extravagant playbook. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it was dangerous from a decision-making standpoint. But, I mean, there's not much he can't draw up to counter or mess with an opposing defense. Now you got some of those guys that can pull the trigger on it, like Lee, like POB, like Jebbia. You could maybe see the full complement, and you can see its true effectiveness. That means the tight end, that means the backs, that means Stan, that means DPE. In the short passing game, the quick little hitch, Nebraska will obviously get pressed by those corners from Arkansas State because you're going to try and counter the amount of time you got to stand back there and let it fly. But the screen game, the draws, the quick outs, it's all there for Nebraska because your quarterback theoretically can make those throws. But how do you get him in rhythm? How do you get him going? And you have that best friend with Orr next to their name, four of them at IBAC to get things moving offensively and have that balance. Defensively, I think you're going to see some busts. It's not for lack of want to, but it is going to be the first game. It's going to be the new system. And I don't think there's going to be an overload, but there is a game plan in motion that you need to execute to counter what Arkansas State wants to do well.
Right. And I was going to ask you, how much pressure do you think is on the defense in this first game, coming in with the 3-4 new coordinator? What do you think everyone's expectations are?
You know, I think the main story is what's your quarterback look like and how does he do? The defense is not an afterthought at all, but it's a distant second to what your quarterback does. I think that's kind of the pulse of Nebraska fans. Get some big hits, get after the quarterback, repeat, and do it on third down. A guy who did it on third down a lot, Jay Moore, will join us on Hail Varsity next.
State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Baseball player.
Back in at Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. He will be on hand. Don't throw peanuts, but wave at him on Friday at Miller time as Jay Moore will be on site, a road show. We got him on the phone now to talk a little black shirt in Nebraska football midweek. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore with us at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Jay Bird, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing really well. It's getting closer to that time of year, and just a few more days, and we get this whole college football season kicked off, man.
It'll be outstanding. Can't wait for it. Of course, Ohio State, Indiana tomorrow night. You had some last weekend. Bama, Florida State will touch gloves. Nebraska and Arkansas State. Jay will do more of a preview later in the week, but right now, as we talk to you midweek, level of concern is what? One is not at all. Ten is, dear Lord, what's going to happen?
I think about a five. I'm about right in the middle. I think Arkansas State is obviously a very, very good football team defensively. I know they're going to be very young up front on O-line, so that might, you know, provide some obvious issues for them. But, you know, it's just anytime you go into a first game, you always have unknowns. You always have uncertainties. You always have things that you struggled with in training camp that you hope to get corrected. But, you know, until that first game, I just don't know how some kids are going to perform. You know, the majority of your guys that played last year, you know, what you're going to get out of them. But, you know, you're playing new kids everywhere at a lot of positions, and it's kind of just a wait and see mode. But I think it's going to be a true test. I think it's going to be a bit of a grind early on. I think overall, Nebraska's talent and just being at home and everything like that they'll eventually separate. But I think it could be a little uncomfortable, too close for comfort. Early on the football game, but I think this will be once it gets towards late third quarter, into the fourth, it will be much more comfortable, and those drinks will taste even better afterwards.
Guaranteed by Jay Moore. Jay Moore is with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Do you remember your first game, your first moment you got in there?
I do. Yeah, we played. It was my sophomore year. We played Western Illinois. At home, Bill Callahan's first, home football game as a Nebraska football coach.
Daly outhouse or penthouse, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was crazy. I was nervous as hell. My mouth was so dry. I was spitting sand. I mean, it was. But I remember getting in, and I think I got like a sack or a half a sack or something. Like, within my second or third play, out there. So it kind of slowed down a little bit for me, but it was a lot. It's a lot moving on. And I remember watching the film of the game afterwards the next day and kind of, there's a lot to correct. I mean, there's a lot of mistakes, but you learned and it made you better. But it's kind of like catching, water out of a fire hose. You know, it's coming at you quickly, and you're just trying to do as best as you can. In that first game, it's just a lot. There's nothing quite like it. That first moment, you get the tunnel walk. You're finally playing against someone different besides your offense, and it's a cool experience. But it's definitely a lot. You gotta do your best to control yourself, control your thoughts, control your mind, and perform within the defense. Perform, with those 10 other guys on defense, and do your job. And that's really all you can ask for, is go out there and do your job to your best effort and your best ability.
Javon Roland Jones has 30 and a half career sacks. He is a monster. He'll move around. I know you've seen a little bit of him. What wows you most about him?
His ability to bend, his ability to, get off the edge, just athletic ability. When you have a guy that you can move around and utilize, he's the real deal. And when you can use him to your advantage. You can find weaknesses. It's kind of like what Nebraska will be able to do within the 3-4 defense is use your one really good pass rusher, just get him in one-on-one situations against backs and tight ends and let him go wreak havoc. And then, Arkansas State will do that with him. They'll put him to certain sides of the field, up the middle, left, right, you name it, to make sure he's getting one-on-one blocks with a tight end, maybe a running back, a fullback, whatever it might be, and use his speed and athleticism to win. So Nebraska has to they're, you know, I'm sure they've been IDing him all week. I'm sure you have a special guy on that scout team wearing his number in practice and mimicking him. So they'll have to be a constant ID by Tanner Lee on wherever he is to make sure that he is picked up and taken care of, and that so that Tanner Lee can feel comfortable in that pocket.
How would you want Neville and Gates to approach this opportunity?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, it's the way the year ended for Gates going against a first round draft pick against Tennessee. Now he's with the Eagles. This is a great opportunity to step up and meet this player head on, because you know that with Barnett it did not go well for Gates, obviously. So you know what? Hey, I learned. I got better from that. I played against a guy who's going to be starting for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm going to come out here and stone this guy. I'm going to show you I learned and got better from the situation, and approach it and want to, because you want to prove people that was kind of a fluke one game situation. It's a way for Neville too, that who has played poorly in the past years, that hey, I'm improved. I'm better. I want to play against the best competition just to prove myself, because I haven't really done it yet. And people, there's a lot of negative things, you know, being said about me, including, you know, I'm one of them, that says he needs to step up and play better. So approach it. You know, it's just a great opportunity to show everyone that we're getting better. We've improved, and we're going to protect Tanner and prove all those naysayers wrong. Is that, you know, bad things to say about this O-line group.
A few minutes with us here, Jay Moore on Hail Varsity Radio at JayMoore44. Justice Hansen, good quarterback, really incredible numbers in just 10 starts. He can get it downfield. Jay, you've had a chance in Pro Bowl to cover tight ends or backs out of the backfield. Blake Mack is their tight end, just shy of 700 yards receiving last season. He'll be the main target for them. Nebraska knows that, but they can still just, it's kind of the mirror here, mirror image of Roland Jones, because they can put him at H-back, they can put him on the end of the line, they can split him wide, and they put him in the slot. Who does Nebraska stick on him, or do they just kind of roll the dice and wherever he's split out, they keep the assignment normal, for lack of a better term? How do they approach this, do you think?
Yeah, I think when you have a good tight end, I think you always have to get physical with him. You have to make him uncomfortable. You can never give him free releases, especially if he's on the, he's playing that wide position on the end of the line of scrimmage. I think you always are jamming him up. And within a 3-4, that's kind of one of your MOs within the defense, is always never letting a tight end get a free release. Always some sort of beat them up. Make sure that you're knocking them off your spot. You're making them uncomfortable. That's what you got to do. I mean, that's what you got to do with every tight end. But when you start getting guys who are special, they'll start to line them up in the slot, line them up wide. You got to get hands on them. You got to slow them down. You got to make that timing difficult between him and the QB, and just really make it uncomfortable for him. That's just the way you got to do it. So wherever he is, whether he's on a linebacker, whether he's on a corner, whether he's on a safety, you got to reroute him as best as possible and get him off his spot and make sure that quarterback, is taking his eyes off him, because he just saw him get jammed up and everything just got disrupted amongst the timing of the route combination. And he's, obviously got to look another way because he just got jammed up at the line. So that's what you got to do. Just be physical with him, and, things will take care of itself.
Couple more minutes. Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Jay Moore 44. Jay, I knew you grew up, you grew up in Lincoln. I should say Elkhorn. You came to Lincoln, and you had a great career at Nebraska, onto the NFL. When did you learn or know about the black shirt tradition? That's kind of been the discussion point from Diaco after practice yesterday. We talked about the number of black shirts handed out. I think 16 was fine because of the situational use. Coach McBride signed off, and that's all I need. You're a black shirt man. When did you learn about it? When did it get on your radar as a football player?
Yeah, I mean, you knew about it. As long as you're a Nebraska football fan, you knew what the black shirts were, what it stood for. But it was just kind of, talk. But until you're actually part of that program and that first day of that first week of practice, and you see those starters walk out with an actual black shirt on, it becomes a whole new understanding a whole new moment. You know, I just kind of get goosebumps talking about it a little bit. You know, you just, because it's a culture, it's a life. It's probably the coolest fraternity you can ever be a part of. And then you just look forward. You just hope one day that you can rock one of those at practice. And you're a part of those practices. You see them and you see those guys. And when you finally are able to, and you show up to practice and you have it in your locker, it's one of the coolest moments. I don't care if it's the first time or the third or fourth time for guys that have black shirts in a locker. It's still the best day ever. That first practice out in those, and when you're out there, it's unlike any other. The juice and energy is there. That whole practice, it's special. It's very, very special. But I mean, you know about it, you see it, you hear it, but until you actually are part of it and you're able to see it in practice, and man, it's you know, words really can't describe it, but it's one of the coolest traditions in all of college football, in my opinion.
Did you have an older brother per se on the team that said this is what it means? Did someone kind of pass on along the meaning to you? Was it taught? Did you observe it to know about it?
Yeah, right. Not really. I mean, you know, I had good guys ahead of me. You know, Chris Kelsey was a senior and I was a freshman down there. And I mean, you just knew. I mean, because those guys were so good. I mean, you know, Kelsey was able to go on and play, you know, 10 plus years in the NFL. So, you know, what kind of player he was. But he knew just how they practice and how they handle themselves. I mean, not a lot needs to be said. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get when you've earned it, you know, you're just making sure that you keep it as long as you can. Because I've seen also to where guys who, you know, they start playing poorly and they get taken away from them. And then that's another, you know, that's going to be a rude awakening. You start seeing like, man, you know, you better step your game up a little bit. So I don't think a lot was ever said. It was just a standard. It was a standard. You practiced your ass off. You did the right things. You were physical. You know, you put in the extra work, and that's what the standard. I mean, nothing really to be said. You just kind of seen it right in front of you, and you learned from it, and that's what you just tried to duplicate that and emulate it as best as possible.
Jay Moore with us. Jay Bird, we'll see you later in the week. Thanks for your time, bud.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Smitty.
Blackshirt Jay, the Jock Doc on the way, a chance coming up for you to qualify for those Nebraska-Arkansas state tickets with Hail Varsity. Stay tuned.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday. Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Brandon, it's fantasy football time, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Chris. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. My draft's coming up. Yours has already taken place, and quite a few NFL injuries over the weekend, be it if you're a Chiefs fan or if you're a closet Patriots fan or if you're a loud and proud Patriots fan. Julian Edelman is just a machine in either old school or new school league rules, and he's our topic today on the Jock Doc, an ACL injury to Jules. Man, this is rough, Dr. Brandon.
Yeah, it is rough. Absolutely. There's a guy that, you know, works so hard. He's got amazing hands. It's tough to see that for him and see him lose his season that way.
He has vowed to come back stronger than ever from this knee injury. You guys make that happen. But it's going to take some time. I know we've done a lot of ACL discussions because it is a common injury, but it's not a common recovery, is it?
No, it's not. You know, the recovery is definitely tough. You know, pretty variable depending on the patient and the athlete. And, you know, as we're kind of looking at this, you know, going forward, I think we're starting to see some things change a little bit in terms of the recovery period. You know, how long is that recovery period? How long does it need to be? Starting to see that kind of drift a little bit further, you know, a little longer than it used to be. There was a big push to kind of make that, you know, that 4 to 6 month period. But I think you're seeing that kind of have a little bit of a pushback now. Maybe you're thinking more like 7 or 8 months. Maybe some folks even push it up to 9 months to a year. I think what you were seeing with that was, you know, physically, I think these athletes are ready. I think a lot of these athletes look, you know, pretty amazing at 4 or 5 months. But I think the hard part with that is, you know, just retraining your body, this thing called neuromuscular retraining. getting your brain to kind of connect well with, you know, your muscles, your knee again, that kind of figuring out that coordination, and ultimately figuring out that getting that confidence back. That's the part that really takes a long time. It's the part that is probably the most difficult to prepare an athlete for, but really is a key part of them getting better.
Is it more so between the years than actual the physical ability to get going? Is that the drawback, the holdback when it comes to returning to form?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously the physical nature of it is super important, but when you look at the mental side of things, it makes it very challenging. You know, that's obviously a really difficult thing too to put those pieces back in place. So that's the part that we're seeing, I think, that's delaying a little bit of these recoveries. And I think it's important that, you know, we're now recognizing that it is more of an issue than we probably thought before or even thought about.
Torn ACL is our topic. Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert, and Julian Edelman, our topic. Now, with Julian, again, this happened Friday against Detroit. Is there anything that can be done to prevent ACLs? Obviously, you want, if you were talking to players and the players' union, dial back preseason games. That said, it's such a common occurrence in the NFL. Why so, in your opinion? Because you got guys that are bigger, faster, stronger, and you're not playing, moment of silence here for where the Expos used to play in Montreal. You're playing on better conditions, aren't you? I mean, when it comes to domes and grass and natural grass and, of course, the field turf.
Yeah, you know, great point. You know, you think about, I think that, you know, the surface technology has improved significantly. So, yeah, clearly I think the surfaces are probably better, that, you know, the equipment you're wearing is probably better, that, you know, shoe wear is probably better. So, you know, I think a lot of factors are improved. But then the question becomes, yeah, why are there so many more, you know, ACL injuries, or does it at least seem that way? You know, I think the concept you're talking about, you know, the bigger, faster, stronger concept, I think is important here. As you look at our, you know, advancements in nutrition, our advancements in weight training, strength training, all those things have played such a huge role in really maximizing patients' physiology, probably to the point where we've maybe over-maximized it, if you will, in the sense of we've created this, you know, incredible athletic specimen that probably is operating, you know, outside of the bounds of what his body physiologically was ready to handle. And so you probably have overloaded the joints with, you know, too much muscle strength, or, you know, you've improved your speed or your explosiveness so much that you're probably, you know, stressing or testing your ligaments a little bit more so than, you know, they were probably meant to be for. So I think that's where a lot of this is coming from. The other issue, too, is, you know, you look at, you know, some of our younger athletes, I think they're playing so much in terms of sports. They're probably not resting enough. There's probably a fatigue factor that's here. As that fatigue factor sets in, you know, those muscles shut down a little bit, and then as the muscle fatigue sets in, then it transfers over to your ligaments, your tendons, and then obviously it, you know, can create more tearing. And so all those things are factors, definitely multifactorial. But that concept of bigger, faster, stronger, I think definitely plays a big role kind of at that, you know, NFL, you know, major level, professional level sport.
I look at Julian Edelman in his age being 31. He was an option quarterback out of the MAC. He's grinded it out. He's made a living as a slot guy. Tough dude, little guy, not little, but little for the NFL, and he just keeps on growing. So I look at him, and there's some inspiration there for a lot of guys to give it the Edelman-type effort. What is next for him? The procedure is done or will be done. From your standpoint as the doctor, as the surgeon, what are you guys fixing, and how are you allowing him to take that next step and recover?
You know, our big step with these is what's really important as you look at the data across the board is, you know, fixing ACLs right away, acute ACL repairs, you know, mean within a couple of days of the injury is not a great idea. You know, research will show that. And so if you have somebody out there that's doing that, you know, it really makes it tough on them having to recover. So what you want to look at is kind of about anywhere from a 2 to 3 week window. Let the knee cool off. Get your motion back. You want that knee to look great before you go into surgery in terms of swelling's way better. The motion's almost back to normal. They're up walking around without crutches. And so you want to get to that point first, which makes rehab afterwards much, much better, much faster. So you get them to that point. You have that discussion with them about, okay, you know, here's what we're looking at. You know, typically I'll use this type of graft, or I'll use this type of graft. You have that discussion with an athlete, and then you go and you do that graft. You know, sometimes you'll have a family or an athlete that says, you know, I'd rather prefer this graft, and that's okay. You know, again, the two big graft choices are, you know, using your own hamstrings versus using your own patella tendon. Using your tissue is really important. I think the research has shown that using cadaver grafts has very poor results in our young athletes. In fact, there's a big multi-center study that was done that actually dropped the cadaver arm within a couple of years because the results were so poor. And so I think fortunately, you're seeing the cadaver grafts go away for a primary ACL repair, which is great and much better for the athlete. So that's a big choice you make. So then you get the surgery rolling. Some of the other things I worry about, and we haven't seen, you know, true information on Edelman yet, but things like, you know, does he have a meniscus tear? Is there cartilage damage? Those type of things obviously slow down your recovery. Those things also have a huge impact on what you're going to be when you do recover. And so those would be some other decisions they'd have to make as to how to address those. You know, Julian's lucky. It's just an ACL. There's no other, you know, additional injuries like meniscus, cartilage injuries, and that hopefully will help really speed up his recovery. And that's what that looks like. You get that surgery done, and then, you know, within a day or two, they're in therapy. They're hitting it really hard to get a great sports therapist. And then you're on that pathway of, you know, at least 6 months and getting back.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. Julian Edelman, our topic. Dr. Brandon, great stuff today. We'll catch up soon. Thanks for a few minutes.
Sounds great, Chris. Thank you, sir.
Good work by Dr. Brandon. We will get you qualified shortly for Nebraska-Arkansas State tickets. A giveaway tomorrow with Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Chance for you at Nebraska-Arkansas State tickets. We are going to do a new feature with Danny Burke. Ask Danny on social media. That sound all right with you?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We will do that. That'll be fun. We'll get it rocking here on Hail Varsity Radio. For over 80 years, we've been doing things the AgriGold way over the decades together. We've built the brand that's truly different. Different because of our knowledge. Different because of our passion. Different because we represent the voice of our customer. Our true partners, providing customers with the very best seed. Always backed by a handshake and a promise of more diversity, less risk, and greater yield. For more information, visit your friends at AgriGold.com, 800-262-7333. So, SportsCenter's on here in the studio, and I got to send a picture out of the new flat screen here in the studio. It's pretty awesome. I don't have to squint to see. We had one of those 10 to 12-inch little TVs perched up there in the corner. It wasn't black and white, but it could have been. It would have been more throwback if it was. But now, you know, SportsCenter going on right now. I mean, they run down their top 10, and there's mullet guy on. There's a lot of things you can be known for, but the 80s gorgeous kind of the movie blow throwback perm with the sides of your head shaved, where you kind of stop from going high and tight, but you have the glorious mullet you got to feed and water twice a day.
It's beautiful.
Just saw that. It's not all Chicagoans can pull it off.
No. I guess not. If I could, I'd be doing it right now.
Don't. Stay away, because pictures now live forever.
That's true.
Okay, caller 9, caller 10 right now. You qualify for Nebraska-Arkansas State tickets with Hail Varsity at ESPN. We'll do that giveaway tomorrow around this time. And caller 9, caller 10 right now qualifies Arkansas State, Nebraska tickets, and Blur party passes with those tickets we give you. And caller number 9, caller number 10. You qualify. Be nice to Danny. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Caller 9, caller 10. You qualify for Nebraska-Arkansas State. Get in on the 800 line, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. All right. Thanks to Jay Moore. Thanks to Brad Edwards before he jumped on SportsCenter. Always great to see Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge, and Rick Pizzo today. Thanks to Danny for jumping in. Tomorrow, we are loaded up. We will get caught up with Gary Barnett, get his thoughts on Nebraska-Arkansas State. We will run down Greg Smith, I Pray, little recruiting with Greg, and a name that is one you love and cheered for Nebraska. He'll be at Vintage Red signing on Friday night, 5 to 7. Husker All-American and All-Conference performer, outside linebacker Terrell Farley will be with us tomorrow. So we'll get caught up with Terrell Farley. We'll talk to Gary Barnett. We'll run down Greg Smith. And that is part of the plan for you on a Thursday, getting you ready for game week here for Nebraska in 2017 against Arkansas State. Caller 9, caller 10 qualifies. Again, a qualification opportunity. The giveaway tomorrow, Arkansas State, Nebraska tickets, and those Blur Party passes, thanks to Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt. If you missed us, the podcast is there for you, HailVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app. For Danny, Chris Schmidt, tomorrow at 4. We'll talk to you then on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.